check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Living the dream. You know how it goes.
Yeah, all the good old cliches there, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
I tried to think of another one, but I couldn't.
Yeah, well, I think you covered all the bases there.
All the basics.
That's good enough. So on today's episode, we are going to be reviewing A Quiet Place Day One. We'll get to that later in the show. But we've got a lot to talk about and discuss before we get there. But before we dive in, Ike, did you watch anything this week?
You know, I'm still watching through Supernatural. We just moved on to, season 9, I think. I believe that the last thing we just watched, last couple episodes, for Supernatural, for those who've watched it before, the angels are cast out of heaven and, they're all on earth now. And, the angels possessing Sam currently because, you know, his body's like breaking down from the trials. So
there you go. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. I've always watching Supernatural. Been continuing to watch through the slasher series about through with that. Otherwise I didn't really watch anything else besides those. So.
Pretty boring week.
Yeah, I guess so. So let's get on to our cheesy slasher of the week.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this week we present to you, for your viewing pleasure, the movie Killer Workout. This movie was released April 16th, 1987, straight to video. The movie is now available to be watched on Tubi. It was written and directed by David A. Pryor, starring Marcia Carr, David Campbell, Ted Pryor, and more. The movie was originally titled Aerobicide. I believe it was released in the UK under that title, maybe some other countries. But in the US, it was called Killer Workout. I have to say, I think I like the name Aerobicide much better. That's a pretty catchy name. But some facts on it. Actor Ted Pryor and director David Pryor are brothers. The movie was written in 6 days. The movie was filmed in 3 weeks, primarily at night when the health club they rented was closed. This movie, it's a fun little watch, but it is definitely a cheesy slasher. And it kind of kicked off a little bit of a kind of a workout slasher craze because they were kind of the first to do it. There was about 3 or 4 others that did it after. Not saying because of this per se, but they were. I think this one was kind of the first to do it. So, but there you have it, your cheesy slasher of the week. If you so choose and are looking for something to watch, go check out Killer Workout on Tubi. All right, let's move on then to our normal weekly segment.
Top three.
This week we are doing top three, although this week top three is not really a top three. It is a top one because this episode we are going to pick our favorite horror movie of the first half of 2024. Now this, I have to say, I didn't put as much thought and diligence into this as I do with when we do our year in review. I just kind of scrolled through what we've watched and thought, what jumps at me today? Right. And I do have one. And I have about 4 that I were strong contenders after that, that I might name drop real quick. So, Ike, do you have your favorite horror movie so far of 2024?
I sure do.
All right. So, do you have any honorable mentions? Anything that you wanted to say besides your favorite? Any that jumped to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to do honorable mentions first?
Yeah, or? Go ahead. Go out and throw out your honorable mentions, your non-number ones.
Gotcha. Well, I think the 3, and honestly, these are really recent, 3 movies that I feel like because I will say, when we talked about doing this, right, you know, Dave told me, hey, pay attention, the top three is not a normal top three. So obviously I looked at it, and just like he said, I scrolled through and I was like, man, I was like, you know, looking at the beginning of the year to now, the beginning of the year kind of sucked. You know, we had a string of not so good movies. But then I feel like as we got towards the middle of the year, we had a lot of really good movies. So the three that were not my number one, but that like were runner ups, were The Watchers, In a Violent Nature, and Frogman. Those three, I really liked The Watchers. I really liked In a Violent Nature, and I really liked Frogman. There were obviously a ton of others like Life of Belle and, you know, any number of other movies that I really enjoyed from this year. Those were the three that stuck out to me immediately when I saw them. They're like, boom, you know, but they did not make my top number one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had four kind of honorable mentions that didn't make the cut, but were strongly considered. And my four honorable mentions were Frogman, Life of Belle, Here for Blood, and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Those were my four that, besides my number one pick, I kind of gave consideration to. So, again, this is not as involved as what we do for our year in review, but Ike, what do you think, as of today, your favorite horror movie so far through the first half of 2024 is?
You know, and this might maybe come as a surprise to some people. I don't know if maybe people didn't like this movie, because obviously I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. But for me, the one that that I really just hit with me, that really resonated with me from this first half, was Immaculate. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back on it very fondly, and I haven't had a chance to rewatch it since that initial watching. But none of the movies this year have shook me quite as much as Immaculate has. And there are still a number of movies that I plan to watch, you know, before the end of the year that are from the first half of the year that I just haven't watched yet. So, you know, it's very possible that this movie might be usurped, but at least right now it's Immaculate really just, it really just resonates hard with me from, you know, from the first half this year. And I really, really liked it. So there you go. That's my number one.
Yeah. Well, we've got some, you know, there's some strong movies left in the year. Still to watch, of course, Terrifier 3. Still out there coming up. We talk about that all the time. But I don't want to just give it that spot. But, you know, it's oh, man. I mean, let's be frank. Anybody that knows it's this movie, it's their position to lose.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but that's just the truth, right? We love the Terrifier series so much that unless they completely blow it, you know, that's just the way it is. But there are plenty of other good movies still to come. But my favorite, I think, that really hit me in the first half that I just really enjoyed, and I don't know that I anticipated enjoying it as much as I did. I think my favorite movie, horror movie, from the first half of 2024 was A Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was cleverly done. I thought it was kind of a unique approach with the talk show. It was just fun. It was just a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. Thought it was well executed, well acted, and it was just very, very enjoyable. So I think that movie kind of stood out just a little bit for me. But that's today. I mean, if you ask me tomorrow, it could be something completely different. You know, I sway on these things as I do with pretty much anything that I like. From day to day, my favorite could be different. So. But as of today, the day we were recording, my favorite is Late Night with the Devil. So not a whole lot of overlap between our two lists there. I think Frogman was our really only overlap. You did mention Life of Belle, so we'll give it that one. We'll say those two were our only overlap. So, man, if we had to produce our top five like we do with our year in review, boy, it might take a little work and a little discussion on our part.
And to be fair, I will say that I went purely based off of sort of like my initial recollection of films, right? I tried to remember like what movies like stuck out to me without needing to be prompted. So that was like my first thing, as I was like, what movies do I remember very strongly that like I wouldn't need, you know, to look at the list for? And then after thinking about it, Immaculate was that first one. But, you know, like you said, at the end of the year, so much stuff has to come out. And, you know, when I go to do my top five for the year, you know, it very well may end up being different because I might put more thought into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we threw this idea out there. It just kind of over a few days kind of came up with it. We know when we're approaching that year in review, and we really kind of we prep a little more for it, right? We, you know, we look back into movies. We may rewatch a few movies. We look a little deeper and give it a little more thought. Not to say, not to disparage any of the movies we talked about today, but today was just more of a off the cuff kind of thing, you know, a little more, you know. And if we, you know, if I put a little more time into it, like we do for the year end, and rewatch some things, it might be a little different, right? It might be a different approach. And there you go. Though I just figured since the first half of the year is officially over, maybe it'd be okay for a few minutes just to reflect a little. And yeah. I don't want to take the shine off of our year end and our year in review. But just you know, we've got a long way to go to get to that. So there you go. So Late Night with the Devil and Immaculate are our two favorite horror movies so far of 2024. We threw this question out there on social media. If you've not engaged with us yet about this, please let us know. What was your favorite horror movie thus far in 2024? There are no wrong answers. This is purely an opinion and a taste-driven question. But we'd like to know. I'd like to know what people enjoyed so far. And so there you have it. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll come with our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, upcoming releases, all that you can handle. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off with the news, we're starting with In a Violent Nature. It is now available video on demand. And of course, you can hear our review of this film as well as a wise rebuttal about the movie in the past episodes. So make sure to check those out. I think we gave generally positive remarks. We obviously had a wise rebuttal. That means that there was some dissent and an opinion between us and the wives. So, That's definitely an interesting one to check out. But definitely a good movie. And, it'll be interesting to see where that falls in our end of year review for sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I've noticed a lot of people. There's been a lot of talk, you know, stirring up on social media about the movie again now that it's on video on demand, because a lot of people are seeing it for the first time. I didn't get to see it in theaters. So a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk online about it. But yeah, check out our reviews. Check out what the wives thought about it. There are, I know we talked about it, I think, a little last episode, but man, our wives have fans out there. there are people who love when the wives are on the show and give the rebuttals, and they think those are the most entertaining segments that we do of all of our segments with I don't know, they just enjoy the heated discussion. I don't know what it is. So, but there you go. I mean, like I said last week, someone even made me make a list of when all the wives were on, all the episodes of the wives were on. So, but they definitely had some opinions on In a Violent Nature. So go check that out in the archives.
Yep, absolutely. Good stuff. And of course, wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't talk about some monsters, right? Mm-hmm. So it is being reported that a Van Helsing television series is in the works at CBS. The series is said to be a contemporary take on the Monster Hunter. My apologies. Obviously, a contemporary take is typically a good take to have, especially in the current, you know, audience and world that we live in. I feel like a lot of people like the more modern take on these types of things. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. I'm always down for some monster hunting.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely give it a watch, and I know a lot of people don't like it. I actually enjoyed the Van Helsing movie with Hugh Jackman. I thought it was fun. And, you know, of course, I like monster movies and you know, everything else. So You know, yeah, it could be interesting. Hopefully it'll be done well. It says that CBS, I don't know if this will be for network broadcast or if it'll be for the streaming service or what their plan is. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's kind of the same quality either way. But yeah, there's definitely a lot they could do with this. You know, I mean, Monster Hunter set in modern times that's pretty much the basis for Supernatural, which I love, and many other shows. So, it would work if done, you know, hopefully done properly, and hopefully it'll be, you know, kind of spooky. And, I look forward to seeing it.
Absolutely. Keep an eye for that. And this would be a good point to remind you, make sure you follow us on social media, because if you don't, you won't be up to date when this eventually pops up or future updates about us. So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. David Bruckner will be directing a horror movie called Mice that is being financed and produced by A24. Of course, Dave and I are huge proponents of A24 and their production company. That being said, no further information or a release date are known at this time. So, you know what? Another shameless plug. Make sure you follow us online so you can figure out when this David Bruckner movie is coming out. But yeah, absolutely. David Bruckner is a name that should be familiar to many. So it's, should be no surprise that, this should hopefully be a good film, and, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it was even the last episode when we had some bit of news about something for A24. I can't remember what it was within the last few episodes. And I said it then, and I'll say it again. There's no further information. I don't really care if it's you know, if it's literally, if it's an A24 horror movie, I'm gonna go see it, and more than likely I will probably enjoy it. And just based on the name Mice, I mean, that's already a little bit creepy to me because I don't like mice. So. Yeah, I'm down. Bring it on. I whatever. The more horror, the better. I'm so glad A24 is just putting out some good movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I mean, David Bruckner, by the way, for people who maybe don't know, he made probably one of the best anthology films of all time. Two of the best anthology films of all time, VHS and Southbound.
Yep.
So that's also another reason why you should be excited for this, other than it being A24.
Yeah, I mean, the VHS series can go down as one of the first reasons that sort of turned me around on found footage films. And, you know, I really wasn't a huge fan. There wasn't much that was clicking with me. And the VHS series were the ones I was like, man, I like these. And, you know, there's more that's followed, but those are kind of the first, you know, in a while that have really resonated with me. And work. So, yeah.
Very true. Well, all right. That's it for news for right now, guys. We're going to move on to upcoming birthdays. July 4th, America's Independence Day, 1990. Melissa Barrera, known for Scream, Scream 6, and Abigail. You know, Melissa Barrera is a fantastic talent. Has a lot of really great works. That I feel like are very much credited to her. And I very much hope that her and Jenna Ortega in some way, shape, or form return in the next Scream movie. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, only time will tell if the people who made Scream will get their heads out of their asses and undo what has been done. So,
yeah, never know. But, you know, I mean, she's marched on. She's, got no negativity towards the series. I mean, she, you know, she's done some conventions and stuff. She has no ill will, right? You know, she's not one of those guys that, well, it ended bad, so don't ever come to me with something to sign from Scream. She's not that kind of person. And, you know, still has a great love. It looks like an appreciation of horror. I mean, she did Abigail since then. And, you know, I'm keep guessing there'll probably be future horror projects in her future. Let's hope. So, yeah. And Independence Day, baby.
There you go. All right. Moving on. July 7th, 1949. Shelley Duvall, known for her role in The Shining. Of course, Shelley Duvall is has only had a handful of works, you know, in her discography. But I feel like one of her most prolific being, you know, is discography? No, filmography probably be the more appropriate term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she's a DJ too. I don't know. But, you know, Shelley Duvall has only a handful of things that she's done in her career. I know that she kind of took a step back from it, but I feel like one of the most prolific films that she has done, and also potentially one of the most prolific horror movies of all time, being The Shining. So,
yep.
Definitely fantastic work on that movie. Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got a limited run and you step away from the business, but you've got The Shining on your resume, I mean, you're still pretty damn good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Moving on to another legend, July 8th, 1958, Kevin Bacon, known for his role in Friday the 13th, as well as many, 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 many other movies that he has been in and just rocked. So, obviously, legendary status to Kevin Bacon as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's been in bigger films than Friday the 13th for him, but they're not really horror movies per se. I mean, he was in, what, Invisible Man recently?
Yeah.
And what was that one? They, Them. He was in that recently. And stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, as far as horror movies, you know, he was in the first Friday the 13th. Just seems like such a cool dude, right? He just, everything he does. Obviously, there's the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever it's called, which we kind of ripped off to do the 7 Degrees of Screams in one of our segments. And he's done so much. His horror resume is pretty strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last birthday, and yet again another legend, July 10th, 1926, Fred Gwynn, also his role for known for Herman Munster. So I'm assuming he's probably the OG Herman Munster from the TV show, right?
He is, yeah. He was the original. I was also in, what was it, My Cousin Vinny as the judge. I believe it was My Cousin Vinny has played the judge in that. I mean, he's done lots of things, but obviously most people will know him for being Herman Munster.
Very true. It's a pretty iconic role, especially for that time. So very good. All right. Now that we've gotten out of the birthdays, we're going to go for movie anniversaries. Starting here at July 4th again, America's Birthday, 2018, U.S. of A, The First Purge. The First Purge, always, you know, not just The First Purge, but all of the other Purge movies kind of have a track record, I should say, of releasing on July, you know, release dates. And in a lot of cases, I think other ones have tried to release near or around the 4th.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, a few Purge movies here in the last, the few weeks and stuff, but I think that's by design, right? Given their context, given what they're about and stuff, it's kind of makes sense. Try to put it around Independence Day, around the 4th of July. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've had some movie anniversaries, two or three of them here recently.
There you go. But yeah, of course, your first Purge is, it's one of the Purge movies. It's not my favorite Purge movie. It's all right. Yeah. It does its job for, potentially setting a background narrative. But, it's not my favorite Purge movie. Not to say it's a bad movie, just not my favorite.
No, me neither. But it's all right.
That's right. All right. July 7th, 1993, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. I just recently watched the Maniac Cop movie, so I guess I need to check out the sequels.
Yeah, I mean, you should. They're not as good as the first. The second's not as good as the first. The third's not as good as the second. But, you know me, I'm a completist, right? It's like, if I watch one, I got to watch them all. But I love the first one so much. Just a great, great movie for me. And, the sequels are, they're okay. They're fun in their own rights. But, yeah, they're not as good as the first. But still deserve to be watched, yeah.
Usually how it goes.
I'm pretty sure this was a straight to video movie anyway, so
those are the best ones. Straight to video.
That's right.
Straight to VHS.
All right.
Well, July 7th, a mere, 30 years later, Insidious, The Red Door. And of course, we've actually reviewed this film, came out just last year. Very good movie. I think we gave it generally good reviews. Check out our review if you haven't yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think we actually did an Insidious, franchise episode, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah. I believe so.
Right before this came out, and, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it, and, it's been a year, but it feels like it's been so long ago, but, good movie.
Yeah. Very good. And then a not so good movie. No, I'm kidding. July.
Oh no, it's not a joke.
It's not the best. It's not.
It's not bad.
I have seen this movie. I have seen the first like three or four of these this franchise. But July 8th, 1988, Phantasm 2. The first Phantasm movie is pretty good. The second Phantasm movie is not very good. And I think the third one's better than the second one, if I remember correctly.
Probably. I'm not a huge fan of any of the sequels. And I very much enjoy the first, but it's okay. I mean, I know there are a lot of people who are avid fans of the franchise, and that's all well and good. I don't know what it is. I don't know. For me, it kind of runs out of steam. It's like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like there's enough there to all these sequels. It doesn't work for me. But it's okay. You know, I do love the first one, and just the others don't really work for me that well. But if you're a Phantasm fan, congratulations. Here's an anniversary for Phantasm 2.
That's right. Same thing I say with any time the Howling movies pop up on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm tooting the horns of Maniac Cops and everything else. So, I mean, I don't have any room to judge anybody.
True. If anybody comes on here and is like, oh, yeah, Phantasm 2 is the best movie ever, we might judge you a little bit. But, you know, it's to each their own.
I'd love to chat with that person, though.
Yeah, for real.
I just want to hear why. Why? What? You know, why do you think that? In what vein is that? So, yeah, I'd love to hear that that argument.
I have to, like, have that conversation with some. Have to find, like, a really shitty movie and be like, does anybody, like, really like this movie? And be like, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're saying Phantasm 2 is the best movie of all time, you're saying it's even better than Phantasm 1.
True.
And it's like, I don't see that argument even. Even if you enjoy 2, I don't see that it's better than. I mean, it's. But yeah, I'm open to listen. It won't change my mind, but I'd love to hear you try.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Last upcoming movie anniversary, July 9th, 2021, Fear Street Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'm just kidding. It's Part 2, 1978.
It's 78. There's some boogaloo going on.
There is some boogaloo going on, but yeah, you know, I love the Fear Street movies. All three of them are great. I think the second one is equal to or on par with the first one. The third one is not as strong, in my opinion, but it's not horrible by any stretch of the meaning. But the second one's really good. It takes you back to that old school campy slasher, quite literally campy, both in the adjective campy and also it taking place at a camp. So,
Yeah, we had the first one, I think, last week. As an anniversary, whatever, and someone on social media put something about how that summer was, you know, the summer that these came out in 2021 was pretty fun because they all came out, you know, within a span of each other.
Yeah.
Over the course of that summer, and I'm like, yeah, you know, that is true though, right? That's kind of a fun concept. It's makes for a fun deal, right? When you have a trilogy of movies and they're all coming out within whatever a matter of weeks or whatever, that's pretty cool. I think, you know, more streaming services need to do that.
You know? No, absolutely. It was sort of a spectacle because it was still during 2021. You know, COVID was still very prominent. You know, COVID's still prominent today. But I guess in the social, you know, in the social periphery, it was very much a big deal in 2021. So a lot of movie theaters were still not getting major releases. And so Netflix, one of the things that Netflix did right during the pandemic was they really stepped up with their movie production and they tried to bring a lot of, you know, original and creative IPs to the service. And this was one of them. And I distinctly remember when these three movies came out, you know, we were me and my wife, we watched the first one and we're like, man, we want that second one. The second one, like, man, we want that third one. We watched that third one and we're like, that was so good. And so, yeah, it's just it's very interesting, you know, and like you said, I feel like, you know, it was one of those you kind of had to be there to experience at events, you know, waiting because they came out very close to one another. And I think they did it intentionally, but it was very interesting to experience.
Yeah, it was like, you know, having, you know, like a series, but it was, you know, they were three full length movies and it was cool. It was an event, right? It was an event for us that enjoy these kind of movies, you know, horror and spooky movies. And even if you're, I mean, you know, even if it's not your favorite thing in the world, it was just still cool to get kind of caught up in it. And this concept of, you know, these movies in this trilogy coming out so close to each other. And so, I don't know, it was fun. And it was exciting. You know, it was a very cool thing to experience as it happened. So, they're fun movies. I enjoyed them. I'm not rewatching any of them. I would, completely, but, it was just the whole thing was just very, it was very uplifting, very, very, just very enjoyable. The whole concept.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that does it for, movie news, birthdays and anniversaries. So we have two upcoming releases for you folks. We have one digital and one in theaters. The Strangers Chapter 1 is coming to digital July 16th and then physical media on July 23rd. You know, despite what people might be saying about the film, it is still, in my opinion, worth a watch. Some people, aka Dave, no, I'm just kidding.
it's not a joke.
No. He did not give it favorable reviews during the review. And it's sort of been sort of a shared sentiment, I feel like, across the internet. And, you know, and I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it for what it was. But it's still enjoyable to some degree, if nothing more than to be say, hey, you know, I've seen all the Strangers movies. It's a good watch and something you can watch at home now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I wasn't a big fan, but I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those kinds, though. It's like, oh, it was horrible. This whole thing's going to be just trash. I'm more of a, ooh, I really didn't like that. I kind of hope that's the movie they had to make to get to the others, right? Maybe now that we've set it up, maybe now that there's the second one, which will be out, you know, soon by the, you know, at the end of the year, maybe now they can tell a little more of the story that they want to tell now that they've established and had to rewrite or retell some of this story. So maybe now, you know, maybe they've got something in their back pocket saved up original. Maybe not, but I am an optimist and, believe it or not. And, so, you know, I'm still looking forward to the second one. Hopefully, it'll be better, but, you know, it is what it is. And again, I still say, and I think I said this in the review, part of it really is, I loved the original so much. It was such a strong film for me, that this one it was like, this pales in comparison. So now maybe that they cleared the shadow of the first one, we'll see what happens. But, yeah. So, you know, if somebody maybe doesn't have that preconception in their mind, we'll probably enjoy it more than I would. So.
No, for sure. But there you go. Check that out on streaming, folks. And then, of course, our theater release this week and one that we're all very hyped for. Maxine comes to theaters on July 5th, described as, in 1980s Hollywood, adult film star and aspiring actress Maxine Minx finally gets her big break. But as a mysterious killer stalks the starlets of Hollywood, a trail of blood threatens to reveal her sinister past. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. You know, this is the third in the trilogy by Ty West, you know, the first two being Pearl and X. So this is supposed to be sort of a cap on the trilogy with potentially one more movie in the works. Of course, not a whole lot is known other than what's in the trailer. So I'm very curious to see where this movie goes. And of course, we'll be watching it this week/weekend.
Yeah, I absolutely loved X. Wasn't the biggest fan of Pearl, but I'm hoping this one. I mean, again, I'm a sucker when you say, you know, in 1980s Hollywood, I'm like, okay, sold, done. Well, you don't even need to go any further. You said 80s.
Yeah.
And, so I hoping this will be fun. And, you know, if this is the finality of it, which is still kind of up in the air unofficially, hopefully that, you know, goes out with a big bang. Who knows what happens here? But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I didn't hate Pearl. I just didn't feel it was as strong a film as X, but, I'm very much, you know, looking forward to this one.
Yep. Absolutely. But, all right, folks, I think that does it for all of our, you know, news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. I guess the next thing to do now is to take a quick little pause. And when we come back, we will have our official review of A Quiet Place, Day One. Shh.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, and we are back here on Listen to Their Screams. We're going to throw it all to the wind. We're going to go ahead and talk. We're going to hope the aliens with the supersonic hearing don't hear us. It is a quiet place. One thing, when I watched this movie, I was sitting here watching. When I watch all the quiet places, I'm like, man, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could be this quiet for this long. I'm not necessarily a talker per se, but it's like the no noise would drive me insane. Anyway, the movie was written by Michael Sarnowski and John Krasinski, directed by Michael Sarnowski, starring Joseph Quinn, Lupita Nyong'o, I don't even know how to say her name. I'm sorry. And others.
Lupita Nyong'o.
There you go. Released June 28th in theaters. The movie grossed $53 million on opening weekend, which is good for number two. Behind Inside Out 2, which is just scorching the theaters right now. Apparently, Inside Out 2 is on a bigger pace than Barbie was. So
it's very good.
Yeah, it's tearing it up. So not really a hope for hit number one. But this is kind of a prequel to the Quiet Place movies. That kind of shows us when it all began from the perspective of this within New York. And I have to say, I like the Quiet Place movies. They're not my favorites, but I'm almost of the opinion that of the three, this might now be my favorite. I really liked the first one, but this one was really, really good. It had the tense moments with the aliens and the tension and the making a sound inadvertently and all that kind of stuff, right? That you kind of expect from a Quiet Place. But this one had such a character-driven story amongst it, with her character, dying from cancer, and I mean Joseph Quinn, his character. I don't remember their names in the movie. His character was just, man, was such a sweetheart, right? He was just such a really, really good guy, and the way he took care of her and the things he did for her amongst all this. And but say what you will, this movie was stolen by the cat. I don't remember the cat's name. I can't remember. They did say the cat.
Frodo, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it might have been. I can't remember now. But the cat was the best. Because I have cats. Not a one of my cats would have been as quiet and obedient as this cat was. This cat was just walking alongside him. It was quiet when it needed to be quiet. This cat survived the whole thing. Spoiler. And this cat never caused any catastrophes. Hats off to the cat. But it was just, man, this movie, it hit, the ending. Again, I'm not going to spoil because since this movie's really fresh in the theaters, and I'm not going to spoil the ending. This ending hits you in every single feel. It was, oh my. And how can I phrase this where I don't give it? I like an ending of a movie where it's not 100% entirely just rosy, right? Where it's like no matter what's going on, no matter all the scenarios, everything just turns out perfect, right? Because that's, I don't know, it loses a little believability in some of these instances. And this movie, the way it ended, it was just... The ending was perfect. It absolutely was. It pulled on so many emotions at the end. Because it's like, while you wanted to cry, it also there was also joy within that, right? There was a happiness within that. It was, man, the movie's worth watching just for the ending. And the whole movie was pretty damn good. I like that, going into it, they knew where they were, right? You know, we've seen these creatures. We knew what these creatures were. We knew the premise of these creatures. And they didn't go into this where they felt like they absolutely had to spell out every detail for you. They're going into it assuming, hey, the previous movies were big hits. Lots of people have watched them. We're going to assume you know, right? We're going to assume you've seen it. But yet we're going to tell it enough that if you don't, you'll get it soon enough, right? You'll understand soon enough. And I like that because they didn't waste time, right? They didn't waste time telling us, oh, you have to be quiet because they can hear like everything. They just got to it. And because they, you know, they assumed most of the viewers probably already knew that. It was just, man, there were some really good characters in the movie. Like I said, I thought it was fun. It might be partially because it's just fresh in my mind and the newest I've seen. But as of now, this might be slightly my favorite of the Quiet Place movies. I just think this movie had so much depth to it and such great. And I say this, I know I seem like I say this every episode. This had such great character development. That was the reason they got to play with all your emotions at the end, because they really made you invested in these two characters, just wholeheartedly. And they knew what they were doing, right? They were setting you up to pull on the right string. So all right, give me some of your thoughts on A Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I just Googled the cat's name was in fact Frodo.
All right.
And he was played by two cats, one named Schnitzel and one named Nico. So that's your fun fact of the week.
Very cute cats.
Very cute. I would love to meet Schnitzel and Nico in real life. outside of the cat, of course, everyone loves the cat. I'm going to give a small spoiler, but I think that it is good to know for people who are animal lovers and people who want to see this film. Like you said, the cat survives throughout the movie. Nothing bad happens to the cat. You know, everything that happens to the cat didn't happen to an actual cat. You know what I mean? So keep that in mind going into this movie. I know there's some animal lovers out there who post on Facebook, oh, if anything happens to the cat, riot. anywho, outside of the cat, of course, the movie itself, and this is a sentiment that both Kayla and I shared, and like you even mentioned, I hate to even say it because the first two movies were so great. This movie just, in a lot of ways, did so much more than those movies were able to do. I think that it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's just that, you know, John Krasinski, when he made the first two movies, you know, he was working off of that initial idea. The scope of the films start out small, but definitely, you know, garner a lot of attention and gravity, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. To the point where now this movie is taking place over the whole of New York City. And like you said, the film obviously follows Lupita Nyong'o's character, Samira, who has cancer, who is in hospice, who is, you know, which is not shown in the trailer. And I do have another comment about the trailer, but I'll wait for a moment to say that. Finish my current thought. Samira is trying to basically, after the world essentially ends, all she wants is some pizza from her favorite pizza shop. Like I said, I'm not going to ruin the movie for you guys. But Joseph Quinn, who plays Eric, basically is accompanying her on her journey. In this film,
hold on. Before you, without spoiling, let it be said, they're at surface, that sounds ridiculous, right? She wants pizza from her. There is a layers upon layers of depth to that is revealed through the movie. There's a lot to that point that you got to watch the movie to see, because again that hits you in the feels too. The whole reason behind
it absolutely does. Yeah. No, you're good. And that's very important to note is that it's not just about the pizza. The pizza's a metaphor. Yeah. So, you know, so the two characters, you know, we follow them throughout the film. And it, to me, this movie, it's all of John Krasinski's movies are, you know, he's always said, he's like, I make these movies for my kids. And you think to yourself, why is he making horror movies for his kids? But the movies themselves have such greater meaning. You know what I mean? The Quiet Place, yes, it's about aliens. Yes, it's about monsters. Yes, it's about surviving in this world. But it's also about being your own person, empowering yourself. The Quiet Place 2 is about taking action and standing up for yourself. The Quiet Place 3, to me, is an analogy for grief. And it's very powerful because, you know, we follow Samira on her path of not only dying, but she's now dying in the apocalypse. She's dying under probably the most inconceivable terms that you could potentially be in. You know, it is beyond belief that you know, statistically, a lot of people get cancer, but her type of cancer, she kind of mentions it's maybe a little more rare. It's hereditary. So not only is she having to deal with this, it's also happening during possibly the worst time in human history for the film. And she's having to also deal with an alien invasion. So it's a story of grief. It's a story of, you know, pain and suffering, but it's also a story of acceptance, you know, and how acceptance comes in many forms. And Dave kind of mentioned it, but the movie ends with sort of the ultimate acceptance of death. And, you know, I'll leave that for you to watch during the film. And, but it also, it's about the friends you make along the way. You know what I mean? And it's about the journey, not the destination and everything else. And there's so much great stuff. There's so much great content to this movie. And you can look at it so many different ways. And it is such an amazing movie. And, you know, the best parts of the movie don't even happen with the aliens. You know what I mean? Some of the best parts of this movie are the dialogue, the conversations between the characters, you know, with the backdrop and the setting of this alien invasion, basically. And, you know, it was very surprising. And I like to always give credit where credit's due. I definitely did not anticipate the kind of movie that I got going into it, because the trailer basically showed nothing of the actual movie. I went back and watched the trailer, and all of the things that happen in the trailer happen to some degree in the movie, but it's not the exact characters. It's actually completely different. And there's scenes in the trailer that don't actually happen in the movie. So you're basically, you can watch every single trailer 100 times. You're not going to get the story from the trailer. You have to watch the movie, which I think is so unique in this world that we live in, with all of the spoilers, with all of the leaks and everything else. The trailers were put out and they have so much great stuff in them, but hardly any of it's actually in the movie, which is so great. So that's the other thing I like to throw out there, is that they were very creative with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you knew what the movie called A Quiet Place Day One, that we were going to see the start of this, right? The aliens coming. And honestly, when I went in, I thought, well, that's just what it's going to be, right? It's just, we're going to see when they first come. We'll see some people like the others trying to survive, learning about, you know, having to be quiet and trying to make it through. That'll be the movie, right? That's the gist. I didn't know there was going to be all this other stuff and this other story going along with it. And you know, it was, man, that was the deep part. And I'm not saying that any, you know, the movie has to have that, but it really added to this one, because if you take that part away and just try to focus, you're just getting more of, you know, it's like you're trying to remake the first one or something, right? There needs to be more, because, you know, we've seen the threat of them. And if you make noise and do this and that, and et cetera, et cetera, we've seen that, right? They had to add some depth. They had to add a new element, and they did. And, you know, it's very much, to me, it was very much a message of, you know, I don't know, even in bad times, right? Good people can shine through and rise and be okay, right? There can still be a glimmer of hope within bad times, and there can, you know, and I think this, you know, very much showed, you know, in how sometimes, you know, the bad times, those things are what, you know, can give you perspective to know and appreciate what the good times are and what those positives are. But even through watching this movie and through the course of the movie, and what was going, and I felt for the characters and everything was going on, I still didn't expect to feel as strongly as I did at the ending.
Yeah.
And even though I had maybe a little inkling of some of what would happen, maybe I didn't know whether they would do it or not, but the way it was executed and the way it was done, the ending was just was great. And
it really was.
Yeah, and like I said, I've not rewatched the others in a while. Not that I wouldn't, but I feel like this movie has a lot more rewatchability than the others do for me. And again, I know it's the newest. I know it's the most recent and freshest in my mind. But I still think this might be my favorite of the three. And that's not typical for me. A lot of times I'm one of those that typically, you know, the first of us is my favorite a lot of times, right? Because it establishes it's when the ideal's fresh and new and it's like all your best ideals are out there, it feels like. And while I may enjoy the sequels for different reasons and this and that, you know, a lot of times it's like, but it didn't capture that feeling of the first, right? A lot of times it, and it's almost like when they went into this, when they knew that, right? They knew, we can't recreate that feeling people had with the first one. So we're going to make them feel something different in this context. And they did a great job. And, I really enjoyed it. And, I would have thrown it in there as an honorable mention. When we talked about our favorites so far, but I didn't really want to spoil, you know, the review and how we were into it. Again, I don't think it's a perfect movie. I don't think it's necessarily so groundbreaking per se, right? It's very much a Quiet Place movie. But they did add some depth and elements to it and made it a very, very enjoyable film. And, again, it's not, you know, the Quiet Place movies are not necessarily my type of favorite movies per se, right? They're fun and I enjoy them, right. But that's not when I go to just throw something on, it's not typically that type of movie, but, and this one had me really invested watching it. So
absolutely. The only thing I was going to add to that too, is that, you realistically do not need to watch the other Quiet Place movies to watch this movie.
No.
You could completely go in blind, which it's weird to say, but a lot of times with prequels, you still have to have some conception, like some concept of like what it is the movie's about. But I think this movie does a very good job of treating you at the viewer as if you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's very, very awesome in that respect. That's another thing I forgot to mention. I was like, yeah, and you probably should say that, because there might be some people out there who haven't seen the first two movies, which if you haven't, they are on HBO Max. I did look it up for streaming if you have that. I believe it's still on there. But in any case, you don't need to watch them. You could just go check this out if you've never seen any of those.
Yeah. And like I said, they don't feel like they have to completely spill out everything they've done before.
Yeah.
Because let's think about it. Really, if you break this down, it's a very simple concept, right?
It is.
Alien invasion. They have this really, really great hearing. So you got to be quiet. That's the gist. It's pretty easy to establish. So they don't insult your intelligence with thinking they have to try to cleverly explain this. They're like, yeah, you're going to get this pretty quick. You're going to understand, right? You see it coming down. Bam. Here's these creatures, things, alien things. All of a sudden, people are having to be quiet. So they figured out, you know, what's going on. So it's like, yeah, you don't have to, you know, watch three movies to get what the concept is. It's pretty easy at its core.
Yeah, and, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, and they understand that, so that they don't, like I said earlier, they don't waste time. Right? They don't waste any time you know, having going into some place with some scientist saying, well, guess what? This thing crashed in and it appears these aliens have supersonic hearing. It's like, okay, well, we don't need that. You're going to see, right? When, you know, when someone kicks a bottle and these things come in attack, you're going to get the gist of, oh, they heard that from a, you know, a, 2 blocks away or whatever. And,
very true.
So
they are going to hear it from 2 blocks away.
Yeah. I mean, they knew what they were dealing with. They knew the concept at its core was easy to get across in the course of telling their story. And so they didn't waste time trying to make it more convoluted than it really was. It is funny because the other movies kind of tell you, you know, what the world is like when they've grown accustomed to this, right? These aliens being here in this new life. And this kind of shows the chaos of what it's like when it first happens. And what was kind of, I don't know, unique to me also is in this movie, there's a lot of hope, right? A lot of hope of, well, we'll get by this, right? We will conquer this. We'll get by. We'll be able to reestablish. And if you've seen the other movies, you know, it's like, well, that's not 100% true. they're going to be here for a bit. And you know, you're the ones that's going to have to adjust a little more. And, but this movie still keeps that glimmer of hope that would be there when it first happens. But, very true. Yeah. So, and like I said, a lot of emotion in this movie, lots of emotions that they use to take you on a wild ride. But it was a fun, fun movie, a very enjoyable watch. Didn't really have any, dragging parts for me. I think it all was all very pertinent to where they were going. A lot of good storytelling, you know, they established the characters very well, to set you up for what they were going to do. So, and again, there was some tense, scary movies. It's not a, not what you would call a super, super hard horror type movie, right? There's, no. it didn't overly rely on the horror part, but there was some tense, scary moments, that they put in there, and they put enough of that to make it pertinent, make it, you know, pressing. But it's, you know, there was no whatever, any, you know, gruesome kills or anything. Yeah. It was just tension type stuff.
You're not seeing anybody getting like eviscerated or anything.
No. If you're looking for any of that, that's not there, but it's a solid movie. So let's rate this thing. I think, again, I don't think it's a perfect movie, right? I don't even think it's that groundbreaking per se, but it was just a well executed fun movie. So I think I would give it a 3.5 out of 5, 3.5 screams out of 5, for this movie. Very, very enjoyable, but you know, not enough groundbreaking there to push it up to a 4 plus masterpiece type level. But a very fun movie. So. What are you ranking A Quiet Place Day One out of 5 screams?
You know, I think I'll have to agree with you there. 3.5 out of 5, like you said. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's not giving you anything, you know, super, you know, inventive, new, you know, unique. It is a prequel to 2 already existing movies. So it is already working off of a relative extensive amount, I guess you could say, relatively extensive amount of, you know, legwork already being put into a series. So, that being said, like you said, not reinventing the wheel, nothing too crazy. It was entertaining. It was fun. But I would be curious to see how they would do any other films on this. Are they going to do like A Quiet Place, you know, Russia, A Quiet Place in China, or, you know, something like that, you know, other countries maybe, but otherwise, this is very well maybe the last we see of The Quiet Place. I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they could do outside of doing something kind of not directly in the storytelling line, you know, of a, like you said, telling the same story in a different part of the world or whatever. I don't know. And I don't know that wouldn't come across a little redundant almost, you know,
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Unless they have some brilliant way to do a movie where we somehow conquer the invasion and, yeah, and end it once and for all. If they've got a really good way to do that. But, you know, I don't know. You want to say, oh, I don't know, the story's been told, but the movie's doing very, very well. So
it is.
So there's going to be some people that said, well, there's obviously a lot of life in this franchise. So it'll be interesting to see what develops next for this, because it had a big weekend. And as you know, I suspect it's not going to let up for a little bit. And that, you know, dollars equal interest from the production companies and the theaters and everything else. So, and this movie's probably going to, when it hits video on demand and streaming, is, I mean, it's going to hit big again, probably. You know, there's a lot of people that I can't imagine when it hits streaming that the viewership numbers are probably through the roof when it first debuts, I would bet.
So, oh, absolutely.
So we'll see, right? I don't know. I don't know if they've already got something in mind, but I'm sure from some people there'll be an interest there. So we'll have to watch it again. Like I said earlier, if you subscribe to us on social media, if there's any rumors or breaking news on future developments, that we will have it and we will tell you. So there you go. Follow us on all the social media outlets. Whatever you're listening to us on, make sure you subscribe. If possible, do a rating review. That helps us out tremendously. Before we get out of here, we would like to say thank you to our wives, all of our listeners, and all of our followers. You guys all make this possible. I could sit here and talk about horror movies anyway. It doesn't make any difference. No big deal. We could do that all the time. But getting feedback from you guys and interest from you guys and listens from you guys, just it makes it fun, right? It makes it more enjoyable when we get that feedback and that interaction from you guys, because it makes us feel like, hey, there are people out there that are like-minded and appreciate our views and our thoughts and share some of the same. And yes, we even appreciate all you wives rebuttal groupies that are out there that enjoy them. So they do provide some fun content when they're on the show. But they will be back in the future for something. I'm sure they've got opinions. They're not afraid to share them, especially Monica. But yeah, they'll be back on in the future. So, you know, make sure you check us out next week. We'll be reviewing Maxine, like we said earlier. And also keep a watch, because as we stand now, we are also planning this weekend to release a bonus episode, because we have on the books scheduled to interview Paul A. Brooks and Sierra Ridvro, the writers of Hunting for the Hag, which we reviewed last episode and we very much enjoyed. So yet another bonus episode where we interview some horror creators. We're very excited to bring you another one of those. That will be a bonus episode. And if all goes according to plan, it will be out this coming weekend from this the time this episode is released that you're listening to. The weekend after 4th of July is when that should drop. So again, happy Independence Day to everybody out there if you're in America. If you're not, you know, you can still drink beer and fire off fireworks if you want. Go whatever.
If you live in Great Britain, we're 1-0, baby. 1-0.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd brag too much, but yeah, I don't. And I have to throw a little thing out there. You know what? I'm all for having a good time on 4th of July or whatever else. But man, as you shoot off your fireworks, just do be aware of dogs, because man, dogs don't like that shit. And just be considerate if you can, and where you shoot off and what time you shoot off and the amount you shoot off. And especially if you have dogs, you know, just be considerate of our little furry friends. So, Ike, before we close out and get out of here, anything you want to throw in?
You know, if you ever see meteors falling out of the sky and big old monsters running around, maybe, just maybe, be quiet, because you never know. They might have that super-powered hearing.
Yeah, it's, if you see some creepy walking around, it's best to be quiet anyway, just so, even if they got normal hearing, so they don't hear you, it's easier to hide when you're quiet. So, you know, just shut up. And I'm going to be frank, guys. Some of you out there, even if there's no alien invasion, you could stand to shut up a little bit anyway. But I jest. Not really, but okay. No, I kid. Whatever. I don't even know how to backpedal out of this now that I've said it. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. There you go. Next week. I don't even know where to go. There's no transition to get out of this. It's like I dug myself a hole.
And you did.
If anybody was offended by that, if that hit close to the nerve, then you need to take some self analysis of why that's true. If you thought I was talking directly to you, especially if I don't know you, that's weird. Very weird. I don't know. I'm rambling now. All right. Let's get out of here before I put my other foot in my mouth. Next episode, we'll be reviewing Maxine. So go check that out in theaters. Support that movie. If you have not seen A Quiet Place Day One, go watch that as well and check that out. If you've already seen it, go watch it again. Why not? But make sure you support horror movies in theaters. The new schedules have been released for Screambox and Shudder for the month of July. We shared those on all of our social media. So go check those out for all their upcoming releases. Lots of good shit on there again. As always, kudos to those guys for all that they're doing for the horror genre. So go and support them. Subscribe to them if you don't already. And if you do, just go down that rabbit hole and just start plowing through and watching stuff. You can thank me later. It's just so much good stuff on those streaming services.
Oh, yeah.
But next episode, we'll be reviewing Maxine. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.